The Damaged Goods Podcast.
And you, you play all the instruments, like when you record?
So, I create all of the tracks from start to finish. So I'll do like a mock when I write the songs. And I don't, you know, write the songs traditionally, right?
What's traditional?
I think traditional, like people start with a, you know, you start with a concept, usually like a guitar or piano, and then like they come up with like a melody, right? I started in a few different ways. Every song has been made differently. Sometimes I just start with drums. Sometimes I start with a bass line, and then I'll build off of that. So it, I don't have a traditional, I guess, style to it. And so once I make the sketch of it, I'll do pretty much all the parts. I'll start with the drums, and then I'll add bass, guitar, keys if it has it. A melody. I usually just kind of make a really sketch vocal, so I'll say things that the song ends up not being about at all. And then from there, I will, you know, kind of show it to Nico, and then I'll get with the band, we'll practice it a few times, and then it kind of becomes something completely different.
Against the grain. Yeah. I dig that. I dig that.
So the first EP I released, the one with the music video, that one I recorded everything. I did the drums.
And
the
you tracked it as well?
Nico okay. Tracked it.
So what was it called so these people can know?
The first EP was called Smoky Mirrors.
Smoky Mirrors.
And it was released in 2019. It was some of the first songs I wrote that I've kind of was sitting on for a few years. And
like ever wrote?
Yeah. Oh. Like one of the, literally the first song I ever wrote is One Night that's on that EP. And I think I wrote that back in like 2013.
Oh, wow.
But I recorded it later with Nico and I released it in 2019. And then from there I, you know, got with a group of friends that I met, you know, through different areas. Some of them I've known since high school. Some of them I met throughout the music scene because I used to play in a few other bands. And then once we kind of got a solid setup, it kind of changed the game. We started playing some shows, and then we worked on the recordings for this album. And, you know, it's a way different experience from that first EP.
That Against the Grain goer's voice on Damaged Goods this week is Audrey Hazel, the front woman, the mastermind, the wizard to the Wizard of Oz that is little sister, or little fucking sister. We can say fucking, but I dig that. And so that's not the official name, though.
No, that's just my Instagram handle.
Oh, I didn't know if you were like Guns N' Roses. Their original name was Guns and Fucking Roses.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I didn't know that.
I dug that, especially on the merch. It looks cool like that, but yeah. And I had no idea that you were like Prince. You know, obviously when he's like performing live, he's got a band and all that, but he's like the session player for every instrument. He does, like Rick James kind of did the same, I'm sure countless others, but that's very impressive. That's kind of crazy, actually. So, guitar, bass.
Bass, yeah. Drums.
Drums.
And then a little
keys,
bit of keyboard.
A little bit. And vocals. And songwriting.
Yes.
So you're extremely talented. So you're basically like very incredibly talented.
I'm all right. I play all by ear, so I'm not like
she's humble.
Formally or traditionally trained either.
Oh, okay. So then, like, how did you gravitate towards music?
I've always loved music. I've always been into music. So I'm one of six.
Children, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm one of six, and I am the youngest of the women's, and then I have a little brother that's like.
So you are literally a little fucking sister.
Yeah,
I was hoping. I was hoping so.
So that's where all my music tastes come from. Now I do have another sister. I have a little brother, a little sister, but they're both about 8 to 9 years younger.
Oh yeah, it's a big difference.
And my little sister grew up in Florida, so I didn't grow up with her, but you know, of course she's my sister. I love her just like all my other sisters, but like my family unit really was my older sisters and then myself, my mom, and so all my music taste and my
all
gravitational,
the older women in your life, yeah.
Came from them, so it's pretty out there.
Well, I feel like that gives you like a larger catalog to go through. Definitely. I feel like, I mean, I learned a lot about older music from older siblings, family, friends. Like, I love that because then I don't, you have like more appreciation for contemporary music. And I feel like that also helps you kind of stay interested in new shit coming out, you know, like, you know, some people, you're a young lady, as you get older, some people get a little bitter or they don't like to let in new music or appreciate it. And there's like judgment or whatever, hold different standards. But I think when you love the old shit, you can love the new shit, you know?
Definitely.
I hope so, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
I was digging the Good Times EP. That's your most recent work, right?
Yes. So the Good Times EP is, I wanted to release a little sample of the album that I'm going to release, hopefully by the end of the year.
So those are going to be featured on the album?
Yes, okay, those are cool. Going to be on the album.
That's cool. It had like a groove, like a swing kind of, I was feeling. I was digging it. So you wrote all the pieces for that?
Yes.
It's pretty sick. And with Nico as well? Or?
So Nico kind of helps me clean them up. He pretty much does the production for it, right? Like I'll come with the sketch, I'll play it with the guys, and he really like tracks it and makes it really pretty.
For listeners, Nico is one half of Ides of March, who are on like a month and a half ago. A very talented producer who not just hip hop, but does a lot of various work.
He definitely like, you know, he throws in a lot of his ideas. I feel like a lot of the vibe definitely comes from Nico.
Does he have kind of like a background in rock a little bit too?
I'm not sure. No? I'm not too sure.
It's interesting. I've worked with a lot of engineers, and some have a very specific kind of skill set or training, but when you step outside of that, they struggle a little bit, maybe adjusting to the sound or capturing what you're looking for. So that's impressive when they kind of, I don't have a broader range. I dig that. So before you were doing music, any other art like poems, the drawing, no other forms of expression?
No.
Nothing. So just music was the first shit.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved music. I didn't start playing it till I was probably like 17, 18.
So you taught yourself how to play all these instruments?
Yes.
Damn. How are you? Do you have a little carpal tunnel, a little bit?
No, I do have small fingers, though, so I play like short scale bass. And
I have like fat arthritis fingers and big ass. I taught myself how to play guitar. My fat ass hands and fingers still got sore. But you know, you could be missing a finger or two, still be good. You never know. You could have one arm, be a sick drummer.
I actually used to work with somebody that played, they had no thumb.
And they played
guitar.
What
did
they play?
Guitar.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh.
The older siblings and stuff, what were they listening to? What were they putting you on to?
So they all have kind of different styles. So
that's perfect.
My oldest sister for a while was into like, you know, Spanish 80s rock and like salsa
freestyle,
stuff like that. And then my other sister was into a little bit of everything, like the Smiths, Portishead, Bjork. Like she's where I got all my really like
solid music. I feel like Smiths and Morrissey's very big with SoCal heads.
For sure.
Latino communities in SoCal.
Definitely.
Huge, yeah.
Love Morrissey and this. They all love it. Yeah.
Hilarious.
And then like a lot of just UK artists, PJ Harvey, Bjork, all that stuff. And then my other two sisters listened to like a lot of hip hop.
Oh.
So I had, you know, a kind of.
Are they the middle ones, right? Or the older ones?
The middle, the younger, the ones in between me and the older ones. And then my family is Hispanic, so a lot of Spanish music as well.
Where are they from? Your folks?
So my dad is Cuban.
Oh,
my
dope.
My mother is from Mexico.
I heard there used to be a larger Cuban population in LA, like 50s and 60s.
I believe so.
It's far. You know, it's not close to Cali. Like in the East Coast, it's Dominican, Puerto Rican, Cuban, because it's very
definitely close.
Yeah. The neighborhood I lived in most of my life in Boston had like a lot of Dominicans, but a little Cuban population, which is dope, rare. That's dope. Have you been to Cuba before?
No, I want to, though.
Yeah.
But I haven't had the opportunity.
It'd be fun. I dig that. So you have a very vast background. Very vast background. That's pretty cool. And so when you play live, these guys are like the same people that play with you all the time? Or do you like kind of switch it in and out? Or what?
Like right the band now, stays? It's been the same guys. And they're, you know, they definitely bring it to life.
That's dope.
they do like add, you know, a lot more to it than my, it always ends up different than my original sketches.
You guys get
and
tight.
They really bring it to life. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of important for like a tightness. Like when you keep swapping in and out, like your you know, your horn player or some shit like that, I feel like it loses a little magnetism, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough like that. So do they ever want to play in the studio, like as a session player instead of you doing everything?
This album I released, they actually came in and they actually helped me record. So the only song on this album, or the only two songs on this album that I did all of the parts to, are going to be Good Time, the single I just released, and then
which is dope. Very dope.
Oh, thank you.
Go listen to it.
And
go
then there's another instrumental song that I did all the parts to. Everything else, the guys definitely helped me out. There were parts where I, you know, came in and played bass on a few tracks or played guitar. I did all the key parts as well. But drums, most of the drums are gonna be Chuo, Jesus Nieto, Victor on bass, Michael on guitar, and then Ezra on guitar as well. Israel Ezra.
Where on the album is the instrumental track gonna go, placement wise?
It is at this so far. It is, I believe, track number 4.
So it's in the middle, kind of.
Oh, it's kind of in the
interesting.
Middle, yeah.
Is it kind of a? I love arrangement of projects, like whether it's film, books, albums. There's a flow that really can suck you in, you know, depending on where you place it. There's an art to that, I find, like that. So I was curious where that was, like, almost like an interlude, kind of, or like a full track instrumental.
It's kind of like an interlude, I would say. And it's definitely a different, I would say it has a different texture than all of the other songs. And then so far the placement, we're trying to make it as dynamic as possible. So there's a lot of like, for example, Good Times on the album, it has a whole intro to it. So
that's not on the EP.
That's not on the EP. So there's a whole intro track into Good Times that I feel kind of ties the rest of the album in.
I dig that.
And then there's a, you know, I like the idea of having like a multi-genre album. So I try to kind of throw that in there and throw a couple different styles into this one.
Do you ever find like sometimes when artists do that or try that, that they kind of stretch themselves thin a little and they maybe like miss the focus, or like, you know, some fans who like one of those genres kind of get lost on the other ones, or you know what I'm saying, like lacks a cohesiveness sometimes if it's not done right.
I think absolutely, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm still at the point where I'm, you know, trying to see, I'm kind of throwing everything out there and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, like spaghetti at the wall, yeah.
Yeah, I like so many different styles. So, I mean, I'm kind of trying to please myself here.
Of course.
And whatever,
I mean, that's
you guys
what you should
like,
be doing
take
first,
for it.
I feel like. As an artist, a lot of people get sidetracked or misdirected about doing shit that's going to please other people for success. I mean, I did that, and I had a lot of regret about that. When you please yourself first, it doesn't really matter, you know? I totally get like spreading your wings, you know, like exploring shit that's not just testing your skills, but I like this style. I want to make a track like that. You know, I dig this person. So I feel, so what are some of the genres you're rolling through on this joint?
Well, so that's what I feel like the Good Times EP kind of gave a little taste, right? So it starts with Good Time, which is a little bit dancey.
Yeah, yeah. Groovy for sure.
Groovy,
I was digging it.
Little disco-y, right?
I was just watching like the Donna Summer documentary the other night, and I forgot how I fucked with disco a little bit. She's from Boston too, so I extra love her. But I dig the groove, like the up-tempo shit. Especially, I feel like for live performances, if you're playing in front of some people, maybe they don't know you or they're there to see somebody else on the bill. Excuse me. If you grab their attention or arrest their attention with some kind of groove, like you can't deny that physically. If you dig it, you're gonna feel it in your gut and your heart. I feel like up tempo BPMs and shit like that does it, you know?
Definitely. So the EP kind of starts off with that feel to it, and then lately kind of turned into something different. I feel like all the songs do. When I make the sketch, it's one style and then it turns into something else.
So what did it turn into lately?
So that lately, I mean, I don't know. What do you feel it turned into?
I'm probably going to miscategorize shit, but in a good way, like contemporary. I don't mean like poppy, like trendy bullshit, but I mean kind of breaking some of those genre barriers, you know, bleeding from one into the next, but doing it seamlessly because, you know, people nowadays are fans of various genres. Back in the day, no, I'm a metalhead or like I'm in a jazz exactly. only, like, and I don't like anything else. I grew up getting exposed to a lot of different shit, digging different shit, some shit I don't like. I probably never will, but I do kind of dig that, you know? And I find like now artists are able to kind of do that without being judged or criticized so bad. It's like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, a little worse. It'll be tough, you know?
Definitely. And that's interesting. It's like it's definitely a cultural shift because I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Like you could go to a high school back yeah. in the day and see who the metalhead were yeah, and totally. Listen to hip hop. Like,
pick them out right in the crowd exactly. without even asking them. Yeah.
And nowadays it's like you'll go and you'll see somebody that's, you know, dressed really goth and yeah. they listen to like Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
So it's almost beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, but it's definitely cool.
I feel like everything kind of could be like a double-edged sword like that. And the internet is definitely responsible for being exposed to more different shit like that, which is cool. But the same way that artists have a little more access to being exposed, like you don't need the big fancy studio, you may not even need a label, you can get out there. So it levels the playing field, but at the same time, it lets a lot of bullshit through the gates, you know?
Definitely.
So that's like the backside of it all. Like, yeah, you could get on, you could get popping, but there's a lot of whack shit out there that gets popping.
There really
you know?
Is.
So yeah. that's like the problem with it. But and I also feel like a little bit of a homogenization. Is that the right word? Shit, you might be smarter than me. But so basically, like, you know, you had a genre or style or even a regional place, like the hip hop in Houston is going to be different than the Bay, than whatever. Now it kind of bleeds. There's kids from New York that sound like they're from Chicago, that sound like they're from St. Louis, which is cool, but at the same time it loses some kind of unique specialty, you know what I mean? Like
definitely so. There, I think there's definitely a saturation in certain styles especially, but again, I mean, people are going to like what people are going to like. Yeah. And I think people are going to like what they're exposed to.
Yeah.
So it's generally, it's still a numbers game at yeah. the end of the day, right?
I think you said like the right thing right there. Like back in the day, if you didn't live somewhere or hang out with certain kind of people, your family was whatever, you're never going to hear certain styles of music. So it sounded weird or strange. You know, whatever you don't know is kind of weird or strange. But nowadays, internet, of course, you hear, you see this shit. So you kind of like, oh, that's not so weird. Okay, that's kind of cool. I could fuck with that a little bit, you know?
I think you gravitate to what's familiar, yeah. right? And that's like your comfort zone. So when things are out of your comfort zone, it's a little weird. Yeah. But I think everything has gradually kind of came to this point, right? Yeah. Like take the genre reggaeton, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I remember that back in the day in the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Daddy Yankee,
yeah,
right?
Daddy
like,
Yankee, dude. Huge in my neighborhood.
Right, but it was its own genre, right? Yeah. And now it's like pop.
Huge, yeah. It's like hip-hop did the same shit. Like mm-hmm. metal was pop at one point in the 80s. Like crazy, hilarious, you know? And it's funny how like, you know, when that shit gets popular, it gets co-opted, you know, used, whatever, exposed, expanded. Sometimes it gets thrown away like a rind of a piece of fruit, squeeze the juice out, but sometimes it lasts a little bit, you know? What have you been digging lately besides your own shit?
I'm kind of everywhere. I rotate through music like crazy. But let's see. You know what? I've gotten...
digging the Spotify playlist.
So yeah, like, I'm like, let me go look. I don't know what I've been listening to lately.
I go through like phases where I'm revisiting a lot of old shit I love. If there's a lack of new shit I'm digging, and then there'll be like a month with like five new albums I love, then I might forget about them a couple months later. Like through the streaming shit, I feel like I'll love an album for a month or two, and then you almost forget about it a little bit. Like when it
definitely.
Was a vinyl or a CD or a cassette, like, I don't know, you just always could see it. Oh, let me throw that shit on, you know?
Definitely. I definitely rotate through like old stuff. Like, there's stuff that I could listen to at any time, and there's things that I'm like, I'll be sick of
What's
for years.
What's old stuff for you, though? Because you're young. What's old stuff for you?
Well, just things that I was exposed to early on, right? So it could be anything, right? Like,
don't make me feel old.
Portishead could be old stuff, right? But then also, like, I listened to, like, Patsy Cline, so that's, like, super old stuff, right? A little bit of everything. So it's just whatever I was exposed to back then, I'll, like, come back to it. So, like, Parachutes from Coldplay, like, I'll always come back to that album, and it's always a good album. I went into, like, let's see, I go through my phases, man. Soul to Soul.
Yo, they got some joints. I was in a huge, like, Tina Marie rabbit hole a week ago. Huge.
I love Tina Marie.
She's the shit.
Incredible. Tina Turner. I mean, yeah, rest in that news was really devastating.
My mom used to play that shit a lot. Life, you know? Gotta love her.
Yeah. Yeah. She had amazing music. Janet Jackson. I always come back to Janet Jackson. But Radiohead is always like a classic.
I had a gut feeling you dug Radiohead.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yellow Days. They're a little newer. They've come out like I wouldn't say like 2016 and after. But they have some good music. They released an album recently, and Queen Latifah.
Yeah, shit. Unity, dude. I love that beat. Who you calling a bitch? I used to love that shit. When you're like in the recording zone, like the process of making a project, do you stray away from listening to any like contemporary shit? Like I used to do that to avoid like a subconscious influence.
What do you consider contemporary?
Like, whatever you like, new shit. Last 2 years. Last shit year. You're digging. So maybe like you listen to it a lot, you like it, and then subconsciously you kind of get influenced by it when you're writing or recording.
I mean, I think I don't listen to enough of like what's new
that's how you avoid it, yeah.
To really be in that predicament.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super late on stuff, to be honest. I saw the Coachella lineup and I could probably name like a good 5 or 6 acts out of that whole lineup.
I kind of like that about you, though. It's cool. You're in your own, like, your own world in a good way. Your own world in a good way, you know? I feel like sometimes if you're too aware of the other shit at the time, you're taking away energy from just making some super special shit of your own. Like, finding your own voice is a very important thing as an artist. Your own style. Like, how do I separate myself from the pack? You know, that's a tough one, you know? A lot of people don't. They just mimic, trace a blueprint, you know, and they get careers out of that shit. But, you know what I mean? What does Audrey Hazel not like at all? Like, what genres will you probably never, ever fuck with?
Probably like reggaeton.
You don't like reggaeton?
No, that's not my...
Oh, shit. I was totally misled by your...
No. I just brought it up because it's a popular thing right now. And just as an example, but it's never been my style, not back then or now.
Shit.
But it's interesting to see that, you know, transition.
So popular.
I think hip-hop is, you know, something that I enjoy to listen to, but I don't think I would ever seriously, like, make a hip-hop album.
Oh, not necessarily to make, but just, like, what you can't listen to.
Oh, what I can't listen to. Interesting. Well, same, reggaeton. And then I'm not, like, really big on modern country. I like old country, but I can't listen to anything like post-2000 like...
I feel like the only country I would like is, like, Willie Nelson, he counts.
Well, I think I like the country that was, like, that borderline, like, oldies. You know, like, if you listen to, like, a lot of Motown, right? Yeah. And you listen to, like, early country, like Patsy Cline's, I can't put my finger on it at the moment, but you listen to like country from like the
Johnny Cash
40s, so you could kind of hear the transition where it goes from or if you listen to like early Motown records, you could hear like a lot of the early country bleeding into it, and I think like that's
just
the
only
once you get into really like 80s like, country,
I really can't fuck with that shit.
I can't
it's pretty
either.
Rough it's
and
pretty rough.
I feel like that it made a very big, like...
Well, it's so poppy
it's
now.
It's so popular.
So imagine shitty pop music with shitty country music. It's like a match made in hell. It's awful. It's awful.
So I like elements of really old country like that, like the kind of Motown-y. I can't do anything
the
after
sonic
like
elements
the 80s.
You like.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the storytelling aspect, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But
That's you could tell a story in a better way. Yeah. What's it called? Dubstep for me is like, that's like torture. That's prison.
Yeah, I'm not like super big. Like I could do like 90s house music, you know?
Yeah, it's got groove. It's got swing.
For sure.
Dubstep is like, it's like robots malfunctioning.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
You can't give me enough drugs to like get into that shit. Yeah.
Like I like electronic music to a certain extent. That like it has to really still have like the...
So you could like dance with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why white people love like dubstep, because you don't really have to have any rhythm. You can just like move all weird and shit. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of rough if you ever have to like be at a show, like a big concert, some shit like that. Oh, rough. Yeah. Yo, do you rock earplugs on stage?
I don't.
You're a wild, crazy kid, dude. Really?
Yeah. But I don't think I'm playing anything that crazy yet to...
Still, like just like to, the like you know? Coming out of the monitors and shit like that never bothers you?
No.
I at one point like I got like the custom kind where they like mold it to your ear, they like match your skin color. A little expensive, but you know, lets the good sounds in, bad ones out. It was very, very helpful.
Maybe I should.
If you hang with like 50-year-olds that either like roadies or musicians, if you talk to them and they like not looking at you, they won't hear you. It's rough. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah, I have a family member that has a hearing aids.
Oh shit.
And he like they are so advanced now. They have like Bluetooth on them. You can like
cure deafness now. Was his shit was he born with it or was it like
no, an injury? It was he's in law enforcement, so he I think guns and stuff like that. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that'll do it. Fuck, man. I have very sensitive ears. I don't like to listen to music very loud. Like cars, headphones, I like it kind of chill, mellow. Yeah. I got good hearing, basically. I can hear like through the wall. That's what it is. But yeah, like live shows are rough for me sometimes if I don't have earplugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're young. You got time. You're good, right?
Yeah, and we'll see, man. Now you scared me. I think.
I didn't mean to scare you. It's easy though. It's good for you. It's easy. It's good. You can still hear shit. You know, you'll be all good. I mean, dude, I used to like be a roadie too for a lot of different genres of music, and like some of the old metal dudes like that are 50s, like their necks are fucked up. They had surgery just from headbanging, you know? Some dudes' ears are shot. Yeah, wow. Like some dudes get like the polyps. That's what it is, like on your throat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like vocal shit like that. Or dudes who smoke a lot. Yeah, so like you can fuck your shit up just from doing music. Lose your ability to do your craft, you know?
Yeah, like, that's tough.
Chet Baker, the jazz artist. You ever heard of him?
No.
Old school. He got like fucked up. I think he owed some like gangsters money or whatever, right? They beat him up, hit him in the face and all that shit. And his lips, his mouth, and his fingers were so fucked up he couldn't play trumpet for like years.
Oh,
and that was his career. He came back eventually, but yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah. Right. Anyways, happier times anyway. So like when's the album coming out? When's the full lengthy?
So it's pretty much there. The sketch is done. There's a lot of songs that are completed. A few songs just need, you know, little adjustments here and there.
Do you cut tracks out?
I haven't yet. I want to make a full length. So right now we're at about 11 songs, and I think that's where it's gonna stay so far. So I'm anticipating October. But, you know, I don't like to put a solid date on stuff because, you know, things happen. Life happens.
It's true. And you'd rather make it more perfect than just, like, rush it.
Of course.
It's impossible, I feel like, for artists to ever make it perfect, but you're always chasing that perfection.
Definitely.
Like the carrot right there. Are you very self-critical?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Stay up all night?
I think everybody is. You're your own worst critic, you know?
Yeah, if you're creative, for sure.
So... I mean, I try not to be like, once I release something,
I try not to listen to it. Yeah, because you can't change it now. It's exactly. Out there. You got
to
eat
That's how it is. So, you know, I do try to take my time, and you know, if it's not ready, it's not ready. But
were you raised Catholic?
No.
Okay, I was, and you have a lot of like self shame and guilt, so you'll beat yourself up about shit forever. So yeah, I do that all the time. It's great. Well, that sucks. It's awful. But
I think in general, I mean, I think religion definitely doesn't help in that area. Sure. It's like, you know, it definitely is the iron fist that shames you for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, luckily I didn't have that, but my own self was enough, you know? But, you know, I try not to think about it. I try to stay positive and stay busy, you know. But at the end of the day, you have to criticize, right? You have to be real with yourself and tell yourself, like, hey, this sounds good or it doesn't. And so, you know, I try to put in the work. But once it's out and I usually won't.
I also feel like making sure you're not surrounded by, like, yes men who are going to think everything you do is good, especially, like, within the band. Like, you know what? I just don't feel like this is working. Or, like, honest criticism, you know? Like, maybe change this a little. I feel like that's healthy, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I love that about, like, the guys and Nico, they do that. You know? Definitely.
Good, yeah.
You know, every once in a while, hey, that sounds like shit.
That's
like,
good, though. You need that, you know? Dude.
Absolutely.
Because if you're paying, say you're just paying, like, an engineer to track you, and none of your people are there, they're getting money working for you or whatever. So maybe they're not going to be so honest and criticize and be like, you know what, that sounds a little off, or let's try this. So you need people around you who are going to try to make your shit better, especially when they're invested, like a band member. They want the shit to be good, you know? You ever have you ever bumped heads, like heavy, like a heavy disagreement?
Honestly, with these guys, no. Yeah. Not with these guys. I've worked in other bands where, yeah, there's like those, just a clash of personalities. I think. But luckily with the group I'm with right now, they're really, really mellow personalities. And
Are you the heavier personality?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens like that. I could. When does, not that I subscribe to this shit.
I mean, I try not to be, but just by nature, I do have a...
When's your birthday?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay, yeah. I don't really subscribe to it, but my girl and...
Yeah.
Pretty much a million motherfuckers do, so I was just curious, you know?
Yeah, I'm not big on astrology or, you know, in that area, but I respect it. And
I definitely...
I mean, I've heard about it my whole life, so I know the details. It's
probably impossible to be, like, an artist, especially someone like... that's performing as the front person and not kind of have a big personality.
Definitely.
You know, like, or like being like big CEO, like running the show of some crazy business. Like you kind of have to, they're more like sociopaths, but you kind of have to have that big personality.
I mean, I kind of do that too. So by day I am.
Oh, so you're also a crazy CEO in the daytime is what
I'm
you're
not a
me.
CEO, but
you're a boss bitch making boss bitch moves.
I'm a human resources manager.
Oh shit. So you're getting people in trouble at work.
I mean, I try not to get them in trouble, but, you know, there is accountability when it's necessary.
They fear you.
I mean, I try not to be like that. I try to be very fair. But I've heard little whispers here and there, you know, little things in the background. But for the most part,
How do you do that? Like, go back and forth? Because that's very, like, left brain, right brain shit.
It is.
Yeah. Like, do you ever feel like it takes you away from art?
No, I think I adapt, you know, at the end of the day, my job is just a character, a role that I step into.
So you leave it when you leave, you clock out, it's done.
Definitely. Once I step out, unless I get a phone call or something, then I got to step right back into that character. But it's just a character that I play.
You could do a full day and then go play a show at night and all good, right?
And I try to be really fair because, you know, it is a corporate job, right? At the end of the day, I have to do things that are in the interest of the corporation that I work for. And typically, it does go against my values at times, right?
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
But, you know,
you got to pay bills.
It's the world we live in, right?
Yeah, I feel you. But there'll be that one day we could just be like, no, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. I'm out of here.
No. I mean, I use my influence for good as much as I can.
Your musical influence. Yeah, that's good. Then you go put on like the suit, the blazer with like the shoulder pads, like Murphy Brown style. Handle some biz in there.
I can't do blazers. I'm not a blazer person, no.
I like blazers.
Yeah,
I mean, a little different. Whatever, yeah. My mother used to wear like the big 80s style shoulder pad blazers.
I think a lot of people could pull it off for sure. I think it's a nice look for a lot of people. I definitely can't pull it off.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. That's good that you're able to kind of transition smoothly. I always struggle with that. If you were doing like the managerial shit of your own career, like booking gigs, all that, it was hard to go like back and forth. Just like sit in that creative zone all day would be the best every day.
I wish in a perfect world I would just be able to sustain myself doing what I love, right? But I mean, I think I have the next best thing. I have a good balance. At the end of the day, I do love my job. I love what I do.
Oh, that's cool.
And I do use my influence for good where I can there as well, right? Like, I try to do the best for people. I try to get people,
superhero.
Like, you know, the most money when I can.
If you had to be a superhero, who would you be?
Oh, a superhero? I don't know. Let me see.
Superpower. What would you want for a superpower?
Superpower?
Yeah. Get one. You don't know?
I mean, I never thought about that.
Flying, invisibility, crazy musical skills.
I think invisibility would be cool, really quick. Just disappear, go away, or teleport, right? That's just good. Get out of there really quick.
I want a great metabolism. Eat whatever I want. No cavities, no fat. Just grub all day, be a piece of shit. Grub. That would be mine.
Oh, that.
Yeah, and eat ice cream. I'm lactose intolerant.
I didn't know that was a superpower. Well, I didn't know that was an option.
Kind of invented that one. It's not very cool if you got to fight bad guys, but I just want to eat a like mac and cheese. I want some mac and cheese.
And then not have to worry about it.
Exactly.
That's nice. No, I mean, I definitely feel that sentiment. I didn't have that issue until like maybe right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
My 30s kicked in. Yeah. And
that shit hit me.
Now
my 20s.
I have to worry about like working
fucks
out.
Fucks your whole shit up. You know, yeah. Can't have five burgers for dessert anymore.
Nope.
What the fuck? It's the worst. It's cheated. But you gotta.
Reality hit me hard.
You could do it, but it'll fucks your shit up. Yeah. And then you gotta take care of yourself for music.
And then exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it's just don't let yourself get there. It's really hard to come back.
Yeah. See there you go. Yeah. It's like the scared
you gotta
straight
just maintain,
show.
Maintain. Just get yourself in the right habits.
You gotta go to like Walmart. That's a good like scared straight program. Just like go there, look at the other patrons.
Oh.
Then you'd be like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go get a salad.